This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 117, where we're going to talk to Borja Burgos about Docker Cloud, recorded live March 2nd, 2016.
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Cole.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by Valid.nl. Valid is a Microsoft Gold partner whose mission is to enable its customers to excel in their business through the innovative use of technology. Valid is always on the lookout for consultants, architects, and engineers. Do you know Azure, BI, and Analytics, .NET, Office 365, or SharePoint? Look them up on Valid.nl. Morning, AC.
Hey, CJ, how's it going?
Very well, my friend, very well. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, bit of a change to our intro there.
Pretty cool, huh?
We got a sponsor.
That's awesome. Yeah. I am totally stoked, and we're very, very pleased to have Valid.nl on the podcast as our very first sponsor.
Absolutely. I agree with you. These guys reached out to us hearing our show. They reached out to us recently. They're based in the Netherlands, and they are, as you heard, their gold partner and interested in just kind of getting their name out a little bit more as well, and also looking for talent that it may be looking for work in the area. So we're absolutely pumped to have you guys on board. They're going to be our sponsor for a good bit here, and we're still looking for additional sponsors as well if anybody is interested. We have a few slots that are open, and I'm thrilled to have them on board.
Yeah, it's going to be great to have to have them on board and helping out with production of the podcast. I think we've mentioned a couple of times that we don't do this for the money, and it's great to have somebody on the show to help us with production costs and hosting and things like that, and to help get their name out. So very pleased to have Valid on board.
Absolutely. So we're still looking at other ways of going through and helping with the production stuff and everything. So if anybody's interested in helping us out or anything, just reach out to us. CJ and I, we're here. We're listening.
Drop us a line. Yeah. Anyway, what have you been up to?
Man, just same old, it seems. Just getting a bunch of work done and stuff. I've been reading, I guess lately, the two things I've been doing on the side, aside from standard job stuff, is I have been diving into just trying to learn this Go programming language.
Oh, yeah.
Something I wanted to pick up. I see a lot of people are really starting to use it a lot more now. And so I watched a class on it on Pluralsight, played around with a little bit and some spare time this weekend. Well, yeah, some spare time this weekend, had a big weekend, and just playing around with it. The other thing I've been playing around with is orchestration stuff with containers and looking at the different options that are out there. Man, there's some cool shit out there.
Yeah. it's going crazy, right? The ecosystem. So there's lots of interesting pieces of technology to learn about. Too many and not enough time.
Absolutely, yeah. So, hey, the other thing that was kind of big for me was on Sunday this past weekend, I turned 40.
Dun, dun, dun. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was, looking back, I don't know if you felt the same way when you turned 40, because, you know, you're older than me.
Thanks for rubbing that in.
But when we did, looking back, like growing up, I always saw when other people would turn 40 and I said, God, it's so old. And I don't feel old. Essentially, a birthday party of a 10-year-old as I went go-karting with a bunch of friends.
Nice.
Awesome go-karts, had a bunch of fun. And then we did the 40-year-old version where straight from there we went to have beer and wings.
Nice.
So
yeah, I feel the same way. I certainly don't feel 40. you always mentally think you're 20 until you meet a 20-year-old. And then you realize you're really old. Anyway, I digress.
That's true.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it's a big milestone. So congrats again.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Hey, life begins at 40, dude. Life begins at 40.
There it goes. Exactly. Yeah. So I know that you spent a lot more time with this lately, and I mean, we'll get into it in the show. But yeah, going back to it, that whole the orchestration stuff with containers is, I mean, looking at the different options from Docker Cloud to looking at Mesosphere to Swarm to Kubernetes, all these different ones that are out there, what Amazon has to offer with the EC2 container service. This is just, it is crazy what companies are doing right now. This is really cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of different tools and things. It's going to be an interesting couple of years as that stuff matures as well.
It really is. So what have you been up to?
I went away for a quick ski weekend last weekend down to Bend in Oregon, which Bend, the local mountain's a place called Mount Bachelor, and it was gorgeous. Beautiful mountain, great weather for the most part, awesome snow. Had a blast with a few friends, so it was a nice little weekend away.
Awesome.
Yeah, lots of fun. But it was good to get down to, I'd never been to Bend before, and it's a beautiful little town, so it was good times.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Hey, but we have an interesting show ahead. If you haven't listened to episode 115, we had Ross Gardler on the show from Microsoft to talk about Azure Container Service. And this week we have a very special guest from Docker on, Borja Bogos. I think I'm pronouncing it right. Borja? Yeah. Anyway, apologies for butchering his name. But he is the CEO and founder of Tutum, who was bought by Docker late last year. And for those of you who have listened to the show at all, you've probably heard us talk about Tutum. Well, anyway, that's been, now it's in general availability under the name Docker Cloud. It was purchased by Docker last year, and they all joined the team. And so we're very fortunate to have Borja on the show to talk about that, which we'll get into in a little minute.
Yeah, it's this is going to be, this should be a really interesting interview. I'm going to let you kind of run with the whole interview. Well, I guess for two reasons. One, I've got to go get an x-ray on my wrist to see if I broke my wrist. But the more important thing is you spent more time with Tutum to find out if so you have a lot more to say and more valid questions that you can ask about. But yes, yeah, it's just cool. Because I guess, you know, with all the different orchestration things that are out there, orchestration frameworks and stacks that are out there, I think that, you know, one of the nice things that I see with something like Docker Cloud is that it allows a 100%, you know, Docker-based solution minus the host. I mean, you've got to bring your own host, but they help you with that, being able to hook into things like Azure, AWS, I think Google Container and Google's VMs and DigitalOcean, among others. So they just manage the entire, you know, container stack and spinning up and everything. So this has been interesting. It's been interesting to watch you run through it. It's been interesting to watch other people blog about it and talk about it and see some of the videos on it and stuff. So I'll be really curious to see how to hear how this interview goes.
Yeah. So we're recording this show March 2nd on Wednesday. So it's been phenomenal to get Borja on the show, and we hope you enjoy this interview. All right. Well, welcome, Borja, to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Chris. It's always it's good, and thank you for the opportunity to be here.
No problem. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience? They've heard us talk a lot about Tutum and Docker Cloud and over previous shows, but it'd be great to just get an intro from you about who you are and what you're working on.
Absolutely. So my name is Borja Burgos. I am the product manager in charge of Docker Cloud. And well, that sums up what I'm working on right now. Definitely focused on Docker Cloud and what's ahead of us. A lot of exciting stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely. If I understand correctly, you were CEO and co-founder of Tutum before Docker acquired Tutum. Is that correct?
That's right. So we came to Docker through an acquisition about 4 months ago or so. So I co-founded, I was the CEO and co-founder of a company called Tutum.
Yeah.
And Tutum, in large, was what has now become in Docker Cloud. So that's what I've been working on for the past few months here at Docker.
That's pretty cool. So how did that all come about? So why don't you tell us a little bit about what Docker Cloud is and what it does?
Sure thing. So if you think about Docker Cloud and the journey of a developer and a dev team and an IT team to get their application from code to production, right, you start thinking, well, they're going to need tools to build and automate the continuous integration flows of that code. They're going to need to be able to store that artifact, that image, that Docker image in some registry. Ultimately, enable the continuous delivery of that artifact into an infrastructure. That's what Docker Cloud enables, right? In the end-to-end, that build, ship, run of code all the way to a production environment in the cloud.
I see. So for folks who are off building their application and wanting to run it, they would building a Node application or something along those lines, they'd go commit code, they'd have some sort of build process, pick it up and package it, and then be able to hand it off to Docker Cloud to sort of orchestrate the provisioning and standing up that application.
Right. So there's a number of different components here. You could even start off with linking your Git repository into Docker Cloud so that there's an automated, say, every time you Git push some code, you automatically trigger a build process, you automatically trigger a testing process. If that's all good, then that artifact, that image is then pushed to a registry. We have native integration, of course, with the Docker Hub registry. And then you can say, well, hey, my image has been now updated. I want that whatever services, whichever containers were running the previous version of this image to be automatically redeployed with the latest changes so that I can have staging environment always up to date with the latest and greatest code that I've been working on. And then when it comes to production, I can do a manual redeploy, say, okay, this version is good to go. It's been prepackaged. It's been vetted. Let's go ahead and update production in a zero downtime fashion with the rolling redeploy. So that's the next aspect of it. And then one thing to point out is that Docker Cloud doesn't provide any infrastructure, right? This is bring your own infrastructure type of service. So we integrate with the top cloud providers out there, and you're able to provision and manage the infrastructure on which to run your containerized applications directly through Docker Cloud. What this enables users to do is to pick and choose to migrate from one to another, which is very little effort.
Gotcha. So I could, if I was an AWS shop, I could bring my own AWS nodes or provision new nodes in AWS through Docker Cloud. Or if I was, we deploy on Azure. And so I could bring nodes or add nodes to Azure. And so you're sort of platform independent, so to speak, I guess, of whatever runs those Docker nodes you don't really care about so much.
Right, and you can mix and match if you wish. Ultimately, what we care about from an infrastructure perspective is that we get some infrastructure that has processing power, memory, network, and storage.
Gotcha.
After that, Docker runs anywhere.
I see. So I could, if I wanted to build an app that had certain components running in AWS or certain other components running in Azure, for example, I could stand up different nodes and different providers, manage it through Docker Cloud, and deploy different parts of my application to those different places.
That's right. That's what we're enabling with Docker Cloud.
That's really cool. In that case, with a multi-provider environment like that, do you do some sort of swarm network over the top of those, or how does that work from a components of my application talking to each other? How do they know about where each other are and the communication between those things, or is that up to the application to decide?
Right. So these are things that we're constantly working on and improving. There's definitely technology already in place, and we automatically manage and set up the overlay network so that these containers are able to talk to each other independently of in which node they're running on, independent of which cloud provider they're running on, independent of which continent in the world they're running on. Of course, you wouldn't want to have your database in East Asia and your application in North America. I mean, you could, it would work, but it may not be optimal.
Gotcha.
So we take the burden off of having to set up and manage the overlay network. And today we run a centralized service discovery that applications can make use of. So say you have your web application and it is trying to resolve DB as a host name, that centralized service discovery will be able to do that for your application automatically.
That'll be very nice.
But of course, if you have your own service discovery needs, you can always run them alongside and use that instead. As we continue to work, we are working and looking at options to do a distributed service discovery so that we can eliminate that centralized portion of the product. But that is all available out of the box with no developer intervention, which is great, right? You're just trying to get your app up and running and forget about having to run your own service discovery, your own overlay network, and manage that, which is very complex to do.
Yeah, something that I think that I found when we started using Docker Cloud when it was branded Tutum at the time was, you know, we're a very small company and we just have a handful of developers that want to focus on building the app, not on building our infrastructure. And so for us, it was very convenient to be able to, you know, stand up nodes and deploy our application without having to be sort of infrastructure gurus, so to speak. And so any ability to reduce that complexity is it gets my thumbs up. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, happy to hear.
So where did it all come from? How did you, you know, you obviously started this sometime back, or you started Tutum sometime back. How did you, you know, where did it come from and how did you get started? What was the sort of the seed that was planted that sprouted into Tutum?
So early on in the life of Docker, you think about Docker being unveiled to the world in March of 2013. We're working on a bit of a different product here, dealing with cloud elasticity and resiliency. And we heard about Docker and we were thinking of building our product using this technology, which was very, very early days.
I bet, yeah.
So around the August, September, October timeframe, 2013. So I think this was version 0.3 or 0.4 of Docker. We're asking ourselves, like, why don't we build a container cloud, right? Everybody had been building a VM cloud. You look at Amazon, Azure, all these infrastructure players, and ultimately the service they provide is that they give you a virtual instance, a virtual machine. And we said, what if we change that logic around providing users with a container? So they gave us the container, and basically what we do is we run it for them. So that's how things got started. Very early days, there were just a handful of players in the ecosystem. Not many people had heard about Docker or container technology yet, specific to Docker.
Yeah.
And we started building this container cloud, this container as a service. We were running the containers initially. Eventually, we changed so that developers could bring their own infrastructure provider into the picture. And that's what ultimately became Todo.
Gotcha. That's fascinating, because it's something that my co-host and I, Andrew Connell, have talked about as container as a service. And the world seems to be getting there slowly, but it doesn't feel like we're quite there yet. You still have to understand nodes, and you've got to stand some infrastructure up and things. But I think eventually we'll get to the point where you can just say, hey, I just want X amount of compute and this amount of memory, and I really don't care about the underlying infrastructure at all, and just abstract all that stuff away from me and just let me stand up containers and run them, and then let me know when I run out of resources and I'll buy some more. Is that do you think we'll end up at that point at some stage, and is that the kind of thing that you're aiming to do with Docker Cloud at some point?
So I agree 100%, and I hope that we end up somewhere in there sometime. that's my hope. Absolutely, right? As a team that's working on an application, that's the ultimate vision, is that, look, this is where I want to run. This is the SLA that I expect from it. This is the behavior that I expect from this application. It needs to be able to handle requests at this rate. For staging, maybe it needs to handle this request at this rate. For production, it needs to run within these constraints, geographic constraints or policy-based constraints. And after that, it's hands-off. It's why should I be worrying about how much capacity I have where or what my infrastructure needs are? So that is the ultimate vision of container as a service. I container as my application, and it's handed off for you to run, given a set of policies and constraints that I've defined.
Yeah, that's Microsoft started off in this direction many, many years ago with Azure. Well before they didn't have virtual machines, they had platform as a service, right? And you could build your ASP.NET application and hit a package button and a little something similar to analogous to an image popped out, and you uploaded that into Azure and it ran it, and you didn't need to know about the underlying infrastructure. And so to me, it feels like the world was on VMs for many years. Now they've discovered Docker, and the benefits of some of that level of abstraction brings away, and that we may end up back to where Microsoft started, you know, 8 years ago with platform as a service eventually, where you don't even need to know about images or the underlying OS at all.
So the biggest difference here that I see, and this was sort of how we pitched Turum in the early days, is that you've had for a number of years now this PaaS, right, platform as a service. Now, platform as a service from a developer perspective was very simple, very easy to get started. There's no notion of infrastructure. But it came with a lot of constraints. I sort of have to develop my application targeting this specific platform. So you lose all portability, and you lose the freedom of running the application however I want. I may not even be able to run my application locally because it has to make use of a specific framework that are only available in the PaaS. So very simple, but constrained to a specific platform. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got infrastructure as a service. Now, that's super flexible. You're basically given a machine, so you have full control of it. So you gained all the flexibility, but you lose all the simplicity. Now I have to manage everything from the OS upwards.
Yeah.
What we see with container as a service is the sweet spot in between, where you do not need to compromise the simplicity because ultimately I'm just handing off a set of containers. And you do not need to compromise on flexibility because you have full ownership on anything that's inside your container, right? So you no longer have to develop against a specific platform. And that's where I think we grab the best of both worlds, the best of the infrastructure, the platform world, and we come up with this hybrid container as a service that fits right in the middle and hits both of the sweet spots.
Yeah, that certainly seems to me to be a very nice balance at this point, and as containers develop further and things, they may be even easier to manage. I know that a lot of people struggle with things like, you know, downstream dependencies on images that you're depending on and what goes into those and the security implications. And so there are some things you still have to consider there, but it's certainly a whole lot easier than building and managing VMs, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
So there are a couple of other options for people or systems to help you manage containers and run your applications and things like Mesos and what Azure are doing with Azure Container Service and things. So how do you see Docker Cloud stack up to those? And I'm guessing that some offer more flexibility than others, but at a trade-off with ease of use, like we just spoke about with PaaS versus VM. So where does Docker Cloud fit in that hierarchy of solutions in this problem space? And who do you think it's most targeted at?
With Docker Cloud, we're definitely aiming to look at and target those customers, those users that are, first, they're comfortable in a cloud environment, that they are comfortable in a multi-tenant environment, right? So the control plane that cloud runs is a multi-tenant control plane, even if it is targeting a specific user infrastructure. And it is also targeting the team that, an agile team that has and wants to ship fast, that wants to have a well-integrated continuous integration, continuous delivery flow. You mentioned Mesos, right? I'd be hard-pressed to say that you don't need a team dedicated to running Mesos. You most likely do. So for the folks that want to run their own software, that want to run open source software that they're able to tweak, that are not comfortable in a cloud environment or a multi-tenant environment, and that have the resources to run a full-fledged Mesos deployment, Mesos definitely brings some flexibility and some powerful options to the table. And that's not ultimately who we may be catering to with the Docker Cloud.
I see. So it's, you'd say that Docker Cloud is slightly further up the stack in terms of abstraction away from the infrastructure than, say, Mesos would be, and offers some additional sort of capabilities that help automate a lot of those things that you'd have to do with a team running a swarm or a Mesos cluster.
Right. There's more immediate value add to be consumed with Docker Cloud than there would be by having to run your own Mesos and having to build that value add by yourself.
Gotcha. Now, that makes sense. It's certainly much easier having Docker Cloud doing it for us. Okay, so you provide the service for folks to be able to run the containers, and you pointed at your repo, at your repositories of images, and you stand up, say, a stack that is very similar to Docker Compose, and you say how your application is composed, and Docker Cloud will go pull those images and deploy them to the nodes in various ways that you've configured, and get your application up and running. But behind the scenes, how do you do that? Like, how does that work? Is it, do you eat your own dog food and run your own application on Docker Cloud, or how does that all run behind the scenes? If you could share a little bit about that, it'd be fascinating.
Absolutely. So the answer is yes. We definitely dog food every component. So this is a multi-service, microservice type application. There's, I think, up to 20, 25 maybe, if not more, services that run Docker Cloud. And these are all containerized services. Of course, we cannot stand ourselves, our own environment, using the Docker Cloud itself, because it would be like the chicken and the egg problem.
Sure.
But I have to say that we do run our staging environment, for example, from our production environment.
I see.
So we do dog food a lot. The way it works, for example, on the infrastructure side of things, there is an agent that runs that enables us to set up a Docker in a secure fashion by installing the certificates and doing all that, the bootstrap type work. There are some such things as what we call system containers. Now, system containers also provide some automation around things like log rotation, so that your node doesn't just get clogged up with logs, things like monitoring, event streaming. So things that we need to make sure that your infrastructure is running, your applications is running as expected. These are minimal system containers, some of which allow us to set up the overlay network and things of that nature.
I see. So those get deployed to the physical virtual machine nodes when you either provision a node through Docker Cloud. So for those listening, if you're not comfortable with setting up your own VM, you can go create one of the nodes through Docker Cloud and it will provision it in, say, Azure or AWS for you. Or you can also do bring your own node as well, right? And that agent goes down onto that node and provides it some services.
That's right. You can grab any Linux box that you have laying sitting around, and that's connected to the internet ultimately, and run a script that will install our agent and bootstrap that node and registering it back into Docker Cloud. So now you can deploy containers to that instance. Some use cases that we've seen around that are pretty interesting are developers running a VM in their laptops and ultimately managing the containers that deploy to that VM in their laptops through Docker Cloud. So that's pretty interesting.
Wow, that is interesting. That is interesting. That's kind of fascinating. So you could run, you can run Docker on your laptop or on a machine that you have at home or at work or whatever, and bring it into the Docker Cloud system, and then have Docker Cloud managing deployment of containers and automation to it and things like that.
Yep.
Wow, I hadn't thought about that. I guess I'd thought about it through AWS and Azure, but not not my own laptop or similar. So that's really interesting. So what are the main scenarios that you're seeing? I guess Docker Cloud's just gone GA, right? Like last week or the week before or something. What are the main sort of scenarios? Is it mostly at the moment a developer tool, or is it mostly a, you know, IT tool for standing up apps? Or are you seeing a lot of startups running their applications on it? I'm guessing since you've only just gone into GA that there's not a whole lot of production stuff on there yet, but maybe people have been naughty during the preview and are doing it anyway.
that's more like it. We actually had a fair amount of people running their production environments using Turum back in the day, in spite of the large beta
preview sign,
not production ready sign. And many of those workloads are transitioning over to Docker Cloud now. We definitely do cater to that automated value-add continuous delivery type workflows out there. Teams that have a large operations team to manage infrastructure may not feel comfortable with some of the automations that we provide with Docker Cloud today. We are doing a lot of the work to cater to larger enterprises in Docker Cloud to provide more flexibility around what things that one can tweak and configure.
I see.
But today, definitely, we see a lot of startups, a lot of individuals, a lot of small teams in large organizations, right, that need to get a project out quickly, that they're working on a project that needs to be shipped rather fast and that are comfortable in cloud environments. They jump on Docker Cloud knowing that they're going to be able to deliver that project in a timely fashion.
Gotcha. Now, that's really nice to see. And I imagine that now you're GA, you'll see a whole lot more pickup. And I saw the blog post go live, so no doubt the word is starting to spread, and we hope that our listeners will also take a look. So as we wrap up, I guess, how should people get started? What's the best place to start with Docker Cloud? Most of our audience are familiar with Office 365 and Microsoft Azure and things like that. What would be your advice for them to get up and running on Docker Cloud and have a play around with it to see what it offers?
Anybody can point their browsers to cloud.docker.com, register for free. If you already have a Hub account, you can use the same where we now have rebranded as a Docker ID. So Docker ID is the one ID that you can use to consume all of the Docker products out there.
I see.
You can access that. Every account gets the ability to use up to one free node, and we're also giving out a free repository, a private repository. So it's very easy to get started, kick the tires, and see how you like it, and then grow from there. For folks that are on Azure, we provide native integration with the Azure service to provide your infrastructure, to provision infrastructure using Azure. So that's also a great way to get started.
Yeah, excellent. I think you've got some good tutorials up in your docs as well that I remember running through a number of months ago. Just sort of a hello world. You don't even have to write any code. You can use some of the pre-canned images that you have for just learning some of the concepts. I found that really, really interesting and easy to follow as well. So it'd be another way to get started.
For documentation and some getting started guides, at docs.docker.com, there's a section on Docker Cloud that has a lot of those starting guides and tutorials in there to help people familiarize themselves with the service.
Excellent. So is there anything else you'd like our audience to know about Docker Cloud before we finish up?
Well, given that the audience know how around Microsoft products, I'm sure all are aware of, but at Docker, Microsoft is and Windows support is a top priority. And while I have no specific date at this time, one can expect Microsoft Windows support coming in Docker Cloud sometime in the future. So for all those that have workloads that will only run in Windows boxes, stay tuned, because definitely Windows is coming.
Yeah, I think we've been looking at some of the news over this last year about Windows containers and what's coming in Windows Server 2016 with great interest. So I'm hoping we hear more news about that at the Build conference this year, but time will tell, I guess. So
that will tell.
Yeah. Hey, well, thanks again for coming on the show, Borja. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm a huge fan of Tudum and Docker Cloud, and I've been sharing my excitement with the audience for the last couple of months about it. So we're very pleased to have had you on the show, and thanks again for taking the time and coming to talk to us about Docker Cloud.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, everyone. It was a pleasure to be here.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.